What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. We actually have the recorders running this week. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at C70. That's Alan Medlock from the Redbird Daily at A Medlock 1. We did record a show on Monday night. It was a really good show. Really, really top-notch show. probably the best show. You know, if you had heard that show, you might even have sent us money. That's how good that show was. Of course, neither one of our Skype recorders kicked on, and so you can't prove that it was a good show because nobody's ever going to hear it. So we're not going to rehash a lot of that stuff. You know, we know it's been a couple weeks now since we've gotten a show out. So we'll just kind of look at what the Cardinals are doing right now. You know, Alan, the Cardinals split squad games. I'll try to say that fast. Today, sitting really right around 500 for the spring, 9-10, I think, with a couple of ties. You know, where we let's just you know pick a place and let's start talking about them.
Well, I watched I think what everybody watched today was the broadcast with the Marlins, and like you and I talked a little bit before the show, and I wanted to get out. I thought Walker looked really, really good, really impressive. I've actually been impressed with all the starting pitching up to this point. I know I didn't get to see, I don't think anybody, quote me if I'm wrong on that. I don't think anybody got to see Wainwright the other night, but I, you know, word was that he looked pretty good. I can't remember the broadcast schedule, and it's kind of messed up with all the basketball as well.
They haven't broadcast all week. Today was first one since Sunday. So, and he pitched on Wednesday. So yeah, we didn't see that one. At least Cardinal radio. I don't know if the other team broadcasted, but the Cardinals didn't.
Yeah, sometimes I know that there's an MLB Network snuck in somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was this week, but it has been snuck in somewhere. So, but no, I thought Walker looked really good today. I thought today was pretty cool. Fam continues to impress me in center. Just looks really, really confident out there, and he can really track stuff down. And then he threw out Lewis Brinson at the plate on a play that Brinson probably should have scored pretty easy, but he held up a little bit. But it was the funny part about it was I think that Pham had either conceded it or maybe thought that he was holding up at third in the way that he took off. But, I mean, he threw a missile, you know, a one-hop missile to throw him out at the plate. And I think I know Brinson can run. So I was really impressed with that, and then Pham also hit a laser for a triple, you know, that one of his second or third at bat. But yeah, other than that, I thought they've looked really good. The bullpen, as of right now, it's really interesting to see how they're using guys, just to get a glimpse. Because when you and I spoke on Monday, Leon was getting all these save opportunities. Mm-hmm. But now I noticed that Norris got one today. Tui Vilala got one earlier in the week since we've talked about it. So I think they're kind of spreading the wealth around just to see who could take it over right now. But yeah, I mean, everything's upbeat. I can't necessarily say that I felt that way about a week ago. Not necessarily results-driven, but it did just kind of look lackluster. And like I said, the word I always hate using is disinterested. It almost felt like that's how it was. But I think that this is a team that is still trying to figure out the direction they want to go in spring and how they're going to use guys and to keep from wearing guys out. And whenever they put that A lineup in right now, they look like a really good team.
Yeah, I think that, and I noticed that as well, because I am a foolish person. I bet Joe Schwartz that, you know, I'm a Razorback. I went to the University of Arkansas. He went to the University of Butler University, whatever they call those little place. the two teams played today in the NCAA. We bet on it. Whoever won had to, you know, the loser had to write a post for the other site. I lost, so I have to write one for Birds on the Black, which will probably put them out of business, and I'm sorry for that. They probably won't survive me being over there for a day or two. But anyway, but I was looking at the box scores from today, and I did notice that Leon pitched the eighth and Ed Norris pitched the ninth, and I'm hopeful. I don't know that I believe it necessarily, but I'm hopeful that they're trying to get a little bit of ninth inning experience on a lot of these guys. And I'm not saying that they need it, because obviously Ben Norris had saves last year. Luke Gregerson has had saves before. Tyler Lyons has done saves, whatever. But just get them some ninth inning experience this spring so that they can do a little bit of rotation in that closer spot. I would like to believe that, you know, if 3, 4, and 5 are coming up in the eighth in a one-run game, that they'll go to Leon in mm-hmm. that eighth, and then they can bring in Norris or Gregerson in the ninth, which is less, hopefully less action-packed. You know, you're facing your 6, 7, 8, and not be too concerned, not think that you have to stretch Leon over. Now, you know, there's probably a little overstating the mental aspect of what they need, but I think it probably doesn't hurt for them to have some stepping into the ninth. If nothing else, maybe it does, lets Leon not think he's got the job just yet. But I would like to think that this is a precursor to a more interesting bullpen use. Now, I think it's going to come out of Mike Maddux if that happens, but I don't know. I mean, you think it's possible?
Yeah, I do. I can't remember, and I'm kind of going through some of the through the box scores right now. But I know that in one of those situations that Leon got out of a 6-inning jam, mm-hmm. which I kind of liked. You know, when I saw that, I was like, this has a little different look. But you know, we may be putting too much of the importance on the save.
Right.
But I do like the fact that they're getting some outs in these innings leading up to it. And just like you and I have talked about it, we talked about it on Monday, which no one will hear, but about how this does have a possibility of being one of those bullpens that probably go from the fifth through the ninth, you know, some nights. And I do like how they're doing it. And it does feel like, I know there was an article today that Trezza did that I haven't read yet, but kind of pointed to some of the things that Maddux has had his hands on that are noticeable. And I have to think that this is one of those things.
Yeah, it most likely is. And again, you know, you wonder, as you're pointing out, we've talked about so often how they've always had this long man that sits and rusts because they never use them. But it feels like this is a season that they really could use a long man here and there. You know, whether it's Wainwright, you know, blowing up early in a game, or, you know, not wanting to push Weaver, or, you know, whatever. Michael Walker gets through 5 and 100 pitches, and you're not going to put him out there anymore. They could use a guy that could go 2 or 3 innings. And I wonder, given how he's pitching in the spring, if that doesn't give Mike Myers maybe the edge for that last spot in the bullpen. I mean, he's pitched very well this spring, but he's also, as a former starter and as a guy they've used this even this spring, going to eat up multiple innings. He pitched 2 innings today in one of the games. You know, I don't know. I mean, that may give him a little bit of an edge over, although John Gant could do the same thing. May give him a little bit of an edge over a guy like Josh Lucas, who has been typically a one-inning mm-hmm. guy. But that might mean that Gant or Myers makes this team because they're going to need a guy that can go multiple innings.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that. I seem to think that Gant's a wild card to me because mm-hmm. I think that he's looked great this spring. But I think that he's looked so good that he is going to go in to that situation of being your 6th, 7th available starter mm-hmm. behind Flaherty right away in Memphis. I think he's pitched himself into that situation. But you're right. That makes a lot of sense. I didn't think of it that way. I mean, I think that we're, you know, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think that we're looking at a situation of having a Norris, Gregerson, Leon, Lyons back end. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of have the wild cards of those guys that are going to be your middlemen when one of those guys aren't. And that does put Myers in a great situation, and that he has been extended innings by being a former starter where Lucas is not. So that's a good point. I mean, it's really made every spring game now. Even as fans, we check the box score and listen and try to watch as much as we can to these games. But now there's a lot of intensity of that last bench spot being Bader, possibly Munoz, and then that bullpen, how it's going to break down, because everything else is kind of falling into place.
But, you know, we do that. You're right. But I don't know that we really should as much. And it goes to what we've talked about before. They're going to play, I mean, it's a 25-man roster. It's basically going to be like a 30-man roster. Because yeah. They're going to run that shuttle from Memphis to, you know, they're going to bring up Myers for 2 or 3 weeks and then send him down to, you know, rest a little bit, pitch a little bit, but then bring Lucas up or bring up Gant or something like that, especially if they're going to need a lot of innings out of this bullpen. Now, if Carlos starts going 7 just about every time and Mikolas can go 7 every time, maybe it doesn't happen as much. But it still feels to me that no matter who wins those last spots, we're going to see a lot of those other guys too. You know, I don't imagine Bader's up all year long. Because they are going to have to find a way to get Munoz up here and play a little bit. You know, we'll probably see. We could see Garcia at some point in time just to see what he's got. That I feel like there's going to be a carousel, maybe more than we've ever seen. Now, we've talked about it before, but it did feel like maybe a little bit last year that Mosaloc tried to do some of that, tried to do a little bit more of sending people up and down when he could. And there's plenty of options for him to do that this year.
Yeah, and that seems like that's the plan, that they are going to utilize that quite a bit, and that everybody is A, going to get their shot, and B, going to get their times where they're playing, where they're controlling more of the innings that they play and throw, being in Memphis instead of sitting on the bench here. And that was one of the issues with a Munoz that I had seen. They were like, well, he may be that guy that doesn't, and Garcia actually. Those two are the ones that may be left out just because they need the most regular time. But Bader's going to need regular time as well at some point. So that's just going to be one of those situations. And then you throw in O'Neill when he's healthy. So you're exactly right. I mean, it's one of those. I think there's a lot made out of the opening day roster, and there should be. You know, you would like to be on that too. They're not opening at home, but then you come back and you want the pomp and circumstance of that. Mm-hmm. But just like you and I have said for 2 weeks now, what they break camp with may not even look close to what they finish with, and that for better or worse, unfortunately. But you're right. It's fun to watch, but it may not be anything. And then not to even be a buzzkill on this, contracts are going to be a big part of the situation as well. That's going to go into who actually breaks camp.
Yeah, I mean that's why Tui Lavalla is going to be mm-hmm. going north. I mean, not that he doesn't deserve to be. I think that the use of Tui is going to be very interesting this year, because even this spring, and you know, we talked about it back on Monday, and let me quickly pull up the stats and see if he's done a lot more. But you know, he'd only pitched 3 or 4 innings this spring, and he just didn't seem to be getting the time that Leon or you know, Norris or even some of the others were. Let's pull this up real quick and see. Tui, yeah, 4.1. He still hasn't. I don't think he's pitched since Monday, since we talked about this. These numbers look very familiar. He's only been in 5 games this spring, five games puts him, well, in the mid, it puts him tied for 6th. On the team, so I guess that's not too bad. But, you know, 4.1 innings. Connor Green pitched 4.2 innings in 5 games, and he's been demoted. You know, I mean, he's mm-hmm. he's gone. That's it. Nobody else. I mean, John Brebbia's pitched 5.2 innings in 6 games. You know, Leon's pitched 7 innings in 7 games. You know, Ryan Sheriff's pitched 6 innings. It's just very interesting to see a guy like Tui Lavalla who, you know, he's looking pretty good. I mean, he's struck out 10 in those 4 and a third. I don't know. Maybe I've missed something. Maybe there's an injury going on there that I haven't heard about.
And you're right. I mean, how does this – if you were just – you know his contract situation as well as anybody. Mm-hmm. When you look at that stat line, what does that tell you?
I tell that, you. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was
going to No.
I wasn't sure if it was rhetorical.
No, I'm literally asking.
I think it's telling you that – I mean, it's a guy that – you know, like I said, with the fact that he's got to be up, that he's out of options – it's a guy you want to know as much about in the spring as possible, I think.
Sure. I completely agree. It's one of those to where they know enough and he's locked in just due to the contract, but you'd think that that would need more work as well. But I don't know. It is very odd. I thought that when we talked about this last week about the lack of exposure, it was a very bizarre situation because you would think that he would be the one that, A, he's either safe – or they need to figure this out, especially with the backlog of arms that they even have. So yeah, it's exactly right. I just kind of want to know what your opinion was because when I look at it, and then I can overthink this stuff. I'm like, well, have they seen enough of this? And this is just one of those to where he gets cut toward the end of camp, or is it he's really safe? I mean, I really don't know the answer.
I feel like he's pretty. I mean, Tui's got too much talent, too much of an arm for you not to at least get something out of him. Now, if you're not going to just flat out cut him.
Yeah, I think good point. That, great.
You know, if you want to deal him, I mean, or if you're saying, hey, he's going to be dealt somewhere between now and opening day, then that I might believe. But, you know, he's throwing, and I wonder if there's not something. I mean, I'm looking here and just did a quick little Google search trying to find out. You know, it's interesting because he was back throwing batting practice with, you know, Gregerson back there in on the backfields a couple days ago. Or today, I guess. Maybe it was even today. I don't know. He's throwing it against some of the pitchers. But when he's throwing with Gregerson, a guy that has been out for some time, I don't know. I kind of feel like... Maybe I've missed where he's been. Maybe some people are sitting out there telling me, you know, sitting there yelling at us as they're listening to us about his injury. But I don't remember seeing it. And if there hasn't been one, I don't understand the usage. I think that he's got to be out there a little bit more because he's a guy that the Cardinals, well, at least Mike Matheny, has not really trusted much. I felt like he could have been used in different situations last year. And they didn't. I still feel like he needs to gain some trust of the manager, and that's kind of what spring training is for. But I don't know, you know. And, you know, he's got plenty. I mean, he's even got closer experience. I don't think you're going to put him high on the list with all the guys that are there, but, you know, maybe throw him out there every once in a while. I don't know. I mean, now that we've talked about it, he'll probably pitch, you know, tomorrow and, you know, Tuesday, and who knows what, he'll probably tell a bunch, but I just find that very interesting that he's not getting some of the exposure that, you know, a guy, you know, like Bud Norris and even like Tyler Lyons, who has gone six innings now, and you know what you've got in Tyler Lyons. I mean, for the most part, he hasn't had the best of springs, but you still know what you have in the patron pitcher. It's you would think that you wouldn't have to look at him as much, but I mean, it's the balancing act of trying to see what these guys have, plus getting them ready. But I don't know. It's just very interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, Lyons today, and they even kind of noted this, he struggled with the strike zone a little bit. Mm-hmm. But when you look at his line, it's not terrible. And I have a lot of trust in Lyons. So that's maybe we're even talking about it. It's apples to oranges what we're comparing here. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those to where even when you look at Lyons, it's like, it looks like a Lyons situation where he's not getting as exposed as much is because he got too exposed last year, and he may be playing on two bad knees. Anyway, but the Tui Vilalo is one of those you would think he would get every opportunity. Not saying that he's not, and they may be very comfortable with the situation, but it is bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you had a split squad today, and, you know, without me, you know, looking at both box scores, you know, I'm pretty sure he didn't play today. Didn't look like it. And I think that's, I mean, yeah, you had Mikolas go five and you had Waka go six. So the innings are, and that's part of what we're seeing going forward now. There's not going to be as many innings. But it's still a little surprising that they didn't get him into one of those games. So I still feel like there must be something that we're not hearing. Like I said, some little nagging injury, some little reason that they're not pitching him, but I haven't seen it explained yet, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be explained, but it's interesting to see. A guy that we have gotten to see this week is Matt Carpenter, and we'll transition us a little bit to the offensive side of things for a little while. You know, we had talked the last show we actually put out, you know, talking about how concerned we were about Carpenter, and finally he kind of got around to swinging, and then he's come back this week, played, he's gotten into three games. He's 3-for-5 with a home run and two walks. I guess he's all right.
Yeah, it's funny. His first game, and I even thought it was after the home run. Saxon came out with he started in mid-season form. Yeah. You know, one of those. It was nice to see. It was funny because there was just a different feel of the lineup when he was in it as well. You know, I'm excited about it. I know that I'd text you on it. I said, you know, I know that we had heard this, and I bashed him, and I thought that they were looking at other bats, and there's some substantiated. Some news that they actually were looking at some other bats, but you could just tell that there was a different field. That the minute that he was announced that he was going to play, this team has really looked good. They have really looked like they're starting to hit on all cylinders. So I was glad to have him back. And then what I thought was funny was the article about him not hitting 240. That's not the hitter he was because he sold out for home runs. You know, he had two walks in that first day, and the very next day he hit that bomb. Two of the things that we were like, oh, that's funny. He went watching all those strikes. So yeah, it's good to have him back. And I'm glad to see him play the field. Sounds like they're going to give him a little shot, a little bit of everywhere this year. But, you know, primarily going to be that first baseman. But I think that he even said he wants to get in a game at second base sometime within the next week.
Yeah, and that's a little bit interesting. You know, I know we were talking before the show, and the Cardinals really were overly cautious with his back this spring. I mean, he could have probably played with it a couple weeks ago, and they were really just being cautious. But there was at least some point in time some talk about that shoulder bothering him some as well. And it makes it interesting that they're going to go ahead and try to play him. Maybe not as much at second base, I can understand, but, you know, third base with the throws, I would be surprised that they're going to give him much time over there during the season even, and I'm surprised that they'd want to, you know, put him over there right now and risk any kind of shoulder problem. Now, maybe it's not as significant as we thought. Maybe it's just a little small thing, or maybe it's fine after it's had a couple weeks to heal up, but I'm just a little surprised that they're going to go ahead and you know, start putting him at these different positions during the spring.
Yeah, did you see his quote about he wants to play third so everybody can see his new lower arm angle?
Said
that was a lot of the work that they were putting in. So I'm curious to see that because I've always thought from the camera angle at Bush during games that every throw of his was that high overhead arm angle. Nine times out of the ten, I would think that he had overthrown the first baseman. His release point was real high. So I'm curious to see that.
It will be interesting because at least in late season last year, he didn't look like he had anything on his throws either. So if he can put a little bit more oomph in them and get them on the line, that, you know, if it works, it works, I guess, but we'll have to see. But again, you got to think that we're not going to have to worry about that too much. But again, you got to find time for Jose Martinez. I mean, and Jose Martinez is still, you know, hitting well this spring. He's played pretty well at first base as far as I know. He's hitting .263 in the spring, two homers, nine RBI. I think you got to find some time for him. I don't know how you juggle that because, you know, again, those outfielders aren't going anywhere. And if Harrison Bader's on the squad, you want him out there when Pham or all the others aren't. So I don't know. Maybe they have to put Carpenter at third sometimes just to kind of make everything work.
Well, and they're banking a lot on Martinez. So that you're right. I mean, it's curious. I do wonder Now, I will say that Wong had two really nice plays defensively today, and I just wonder what it would take for him to struggle to get Carpenter some major at-bats at second. It's something that I don't necessarily want to see because I think the lineup built the way that it is. I think Carpenter's a big part of it. I think Wong is a big part of it. But I was just looking at his stat line, and to me, it's looked like he was just a tick off in just about every at-bat I've seen this spring, and I didn't realize he was actually performing as bad as he was.
Yeah.
Which I hate that for him, to be honest.
Yeah, but I got to feel like, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I feel like he built up enough goodwill last year, having a solid year, and they left him alone, and he did all right. I would think it would take a while for them to replace him, but you never know. I don't, you know, Wong seems to always be sitting on that, you know, edge of something.
Yeah, that's very true. And then I kind of, about halfway through that, I kind of felt bad about even bringing it up because it feels like he's such an easy target. But everything I've read this year is he's the one that they really think could be a breakout just because this is the most relaxed they'd seen him.
Yeah, of course, you know, it's gotta be careful not to be too relaxed, I guess. But,
yeah.
You know, and we've talked about it. We've talked about it all time. You take some of these results with a grain of salt. You know, they're working on something or things just aren't working. I mean, during the year, if Wong has a 2-week stretch where he's hitting, you know, 200 or less, you don't give it a whole lot of thought. You know, he's slumping and you figure he's going to come around. And that's kind of what you got here. This is all that you have to base it on right now, or these 2 or 3 weeks here in the spring. So I'm not going to worry. Like I said, we've talked about it. We're not going to worry about any of these statistics until they get into, you know, get into April. And if people still aren't hitting then that's a different story. But like you said earlier, I think it just feels like this team's kind of got something. And I don't want to say that they're going to be this world beater team, but if, you know, they've been lucky enough so far not to have any serious injuries. Everybody's kind of looking like it's coming together. Even when the results aren't necessarily there, there's no obvious gap. I mean, it's not like the bullpen's blowing every game or the pitching staff's terrible or, you know, they're really not hitting or whatever. It's kind of, you know, they may lose different ways, which I guess is least creative and not as boring. But I don't know. I'm still kind of – I'm very interested to see how this team looks like once the season starts and once things get going, because it just feels like there's something – slightly below the surface there that they might actually click at some point.
Yeah, the change in demeanor. I mean, just like it was last Saturday that I was asking you about. Mm-hmm. This team worries me because it feels like a lot of the same things that are going on in camp are the things that have gone on the last 2.5 years. There's really the at-bats were really, yeah, they were grinding them out, but it was more of a, you know, it was a ground out, no hustle. And I hate to say that because I keep throwing out disinterested, and I think that's as bad as it gets. And that's it's for lack of a better term. You can just tell there's a little bit to them right now. You know, it's actually my optimism is building quite a bit, and I'm naturally like that. Mm-hmm. But it's just the minute that we figured out that, and we had heard that I'm sure they had known that Carpenter was coming back to the lineup, things have started to feel more natural. You know, it's funny now. All the things of, you know, like Garcia playing so well. Now that's turned into, man, this guy may fight for a camp spot. Well, he is, but now it's one of those where, well, they're loaded, so he may have to start down and get some more work. You know, it's just one of those things where the narrative just changes so quickly in a situation like this. But yeah, there's definitely reason for optimism. Well, I've got to say something. Mm-hmm. And this is not about baseball. We're about 4 minutes away from getting to announce a classic.
Okay.
In hoops. So a 16 is just about to beat a 1.
Oh, really?
It's awesome. It's crazy. I'm watching over my shoulder this whole time, and my phone's been going off this entire time. It's good, though, when we can talk about hoops and Cardinals baseball. Like, today was one of the best days I've had all year. Guy, work was slow. We had spring break. I got to watch all hoops all day and the Cardinals, and you just can't beat that. And here we are at 10:30 at night, and I'm doing the same thing. So, yeah, good situation.
That's right. That's right. I think that the Cardinals get an off day on Monday. So they got a game tomorrow, I think, against the Braves, and Maybe, I can't tell. I'm looking at my calendar. I'm a little too far away. I think it's maybe the Nationals on Monday or on Sunday. Day off on Monday. I gotta feel like come Tuesday, this is the push. You know, that's when we're gonna see like the regular lineup out there most of the time. You know, because there's only after on Tuesday, starting Tuesday, there's six more games in Jupiter, and then there's the two games up in Montreal against the Blue Jays. So I think that's where we're going to see our, you know, see really what this team does have, because they're going to start taking in, you know, they're going to start playing situations a little bit more. They're going to kind of start, you know, the starters are going to be out there pretty much the whole time, although we saw, you know, Molina go 4-for-4 today, play the whole game.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome, by the way. Not only 4-for-4, but I was like in the ninth, I was like, man, I just realized that he's finishing this thing off.
Yeah, well, I sent Carson Kelly the other game, I assume. So, you know, that's nobody else there to catch. So it's Yachty, you know. I mean,
yeah,
if he would have caught 9 innings on the first game if they'd let him. So
I do have a scenario that I think is going to pick up steam before long, and I wanted mm-hmm. to ask you about. Is there any chance that Pena starts with a big league club and Kelly starts in Memphis?
I don't know. They'd have to add to the 40 man, which is
I thought he was. Yeah, for some reason I thought he was. So that answers a lot right there.
Yeah, because that 40 man being full, I mean, and that's full to the point that, I mean, I don't know that there's people they would take off, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, especially now that Mike Myers actually knows how to pitch. I mean, just skimming through here, you know, might they take a risk on Edmundo Sosa coming off? Probably not. You know, Breivik Valera, they want to see him try to hit. They want to mm-hmm. use him. You know, there's not anybody, really. I don't see anybody that's all. I mean, you know, I think they like Darian Gonzalez. I've heard Kyle talk a little bit about him recently.
Yeah.
So I don't see where they can add to the 40 man, you know, and I know it's full because they had they lost Rowan Wick when they added Bud Norris.
Yeah.
So I'm not counting numbers here, but you know, I know that because of that. So yeah, I don't see it. I mean, honestly, don't. You know, because there's nobody they can. I mean, I'm not even looking at, you know, there's nobody they can put on the 60 man DL. There's nobody that's hurt that's sitting here. I mean, because Alex Reyes was going to be back before then, you know. They want him back May 1st, so they can't put him on the 60-day. If it wasn't for that, I could understand. I would think maybe it's a possibility, although I don't know for sure. But with the logistics there, unless they made some sort of deal that, you know, they traded somebody on the 40-man for a prospect that wasn't ready to be on the 40-man yet, I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, it is true. I went back over it. So, I mean, you have to go through with two catchers and hope that Voit can be that third.
Yeah.
You know, because that is a balancing act. I didn't think about that. You know, you look through and you're just you know what? It's just such speculation. We got 2 weeks to go. I mean, we can get into that later. So, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's I think that's, you know, that's interesting.
Well, I naturally want to look at some of the guys that were signed, be it Gregerson or mm-hmm. or Norris, and you're thinking, well, is it one of those to where it's like, well, we tried, it's not going to work, kind of like what the Lind kind of opt out in New York did. But, you know, I just don't see it. I think they're going to be pretty big parts of the club.
Well, and I mean, those are, let's see, Gregerson's a 2-year deal, right, with an option for a third, I think.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Norris, can't remember if the Bud Norris deal is a 1-year deal or not.
I thought it was just a 1-year.
It probably is. I can't remember. You know, just about the time I think that. Yeah, he did. So he signed a 1-year deal. So Norris, you could see that maybe, but that would require them to. I think if they really thought that was a possibility, they would have brought him in like on a minor league deal with an invite.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of stuff, and hoped he'd make the team and didn't. And, you know, when they went straight to, you know, hits his major league, we're putting him on the 40-man roster, and I know it's only $3 million, But if they cut him now, I mean, that's just, that's $3 million. I mean, they just kind of threw it out in the street. Unfortunately, not my street, but,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Again, you can't put that much stock into spring training stuff. I mean, if it's somebody that's got a history and you got two guys that are battling and you got options, then maybe you can use it as a tiebreaker. But, you know, for a guy that you've signed like that, I think you've got to give Norris till May or June.
Sure.
Unless he's just terrible.
Another thing, too, is Norris has been linked to the Cardinals too many times for that kind of thing to happen. You know, they may not have any bearing on it at all, the situation, but this is one of those deals where it just kind of would seem like it was always meant to be, as well as he pitched against them. And I can't see that happening, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I just, like I say, if they really thought that he wasn't, if they gave him much thought that he couldn't make this team, I don't think they signed him. In general. And, I mean, you know, obviously things change. I mean,
he's pitched well enough to make it. I mean, other than the start as well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, other than that, he probably fine. I mean, like you said, he came in today, got a save. So, yeah, I think unless there's a late trade in camp where it's a 2-for-1 or if it's a, you know, shipping somebody off for some sort of prospect that's not on the list yet. You know, this is the 40 man, and so we're not going to see a lot of people sneaking on it, that's why, you know, according to this, and I guess, you know, Jag's not on there, so as well as he's played, he's probably not going to make the team. You know, Harrison Bader is.
Yeah.
Oscar Mercado is.
Just like we've said from the beginning, and we even started the show with it, rosters are going to play a huge part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah, because it's not always the best 25 men.
Yeah.
It's the best 25 men that have the right, that have the option, you know, are under contract or out of options or whatever. Because sometimes a guy can be better and just has to go to the minor leagues because there is that option. Versus somebody that's not, and you give them a shot as much as you can. Because, you know, as much as we say baseball has a way of working things out, and it does, you know, as the season goes along, somebody gets hurt, you want to have that guy be able to come up versus, you know, not having a guy at all. You know, if you cut a guy like Norris, well, then you're out. You know, somebody gets hurt, you don't have him.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is okay at times. You know, they do have a lot of pitching, but still not what you really want to get into. You don't want to put yourself into that kind of situation. And this organization especially is very, very hesitant to do anything like that.
Yeah, very true.
You know, we talked about, you know, what this, you know, roster might look like. You know, Luke Gregerson is supposed to pitch Sunday, make his second exhibition appearance. He threw a bullpen a couple days ago, looked good. Pitched a batting practice today, looked pretty good. Looks like he's going to probably be ready, because that was one of those things we thought, well, maybe he may start on the DL and we can get a guy like, you know, extra guy of Myers or Gant or somebody that comes up there. But it looks like he's gonna make the team. And again, I think we talked about it enough, but even though this article right here says Cardinals closer, I don't think that's the way that's going to start.
No, I don't either. I really thought, like, if you'd have asked last week, it seemed like Leon was being groomed for the job. I love those veteran arms in the bullpen, but I'm hoping that they're going to kind of use him as a Zach Duke type, you know, to get those big outs when they need it, not necessarily in the ninth. And it may ultimately shift back around. You never know. But I completely agree with you. I think that ship may have sailed on him, and I don't know how much it actually existed in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, it's. And again, you know, I don't know. You know, we've talked about Adam Butler's idea of, you know, letting Gregerson be the closer so that you can use Leon and others in more dangerous situations. Just kind of Matheny proofing again the lineup or the bullpen to some degree. But you know, and we still have yet to see exactly what Mike Maddox is going to bring to this. You know, is he going to bring some of this extra creativity? Is he going to be more willing to recommend at least that, you know, Leon go the eighth in this game, but go in the closer spot next game, or whatever the case may be. But, you know, right now, you feel pretty good. I mean, you don't feel like there's this inflammatory person. You know, this time last year, Jonathan Broxton was on the team, and nobody felt comfortable about Jonathan Broxton for good reason. I mean, you know, there isn't that guy this year, I don't think. I feel like, at least right now, everybody that is going to make it, plus a couple, we feel pretty good about.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, that leads to where they probably push the buttons on this, correct, on this bullpen issue, you know? So, yeah, we can't complain at this point. I mean, I hope we're not doing that in June either. But yeah, I mean, they have a ton of options.
But one of the options is not going to be Alex Reyes. Reyes is not going to pitch in the spring, at least not in games. He's throwing bullpens. He's throwing batting practice. He's throwing whatever. He seems to be doing okay, but I guess the last, it's like Maddox says, 90% is what we can attain quickly. That last 10% is going to take some time. With, as we said earlier, the innings getting smaller, you know, with starters going five or six now, with, you know, kind of starting to set up your bullpen the way you expect it, it's not too surprising you're not going to throw Alex Reyes out there in that mix, but boy, it'd be nice to see him at least face hitters for, even if it was just one game, to see where he was at with his rehab.
Yeah, that's, I could see both ways. I love the kids' gloves approach that they're handling this with, and I think that some of it comes I don't think they care about perception, but I don't think they want this to look like they definitely need him and that they're going to set on it, you know, as long as they can and just get him healthy and ready to go. And it's one of those to where I'm trying to handle this like it's not even going to happen and just be ready for that bullet when he's ready.
Yeah. I don't know, but that's going to be, I mean, and there's your, I mean, that's going to be a very interesting discussion when he is ready. What happens then? Where does he go in? And boy, I don't know. I'm just, you know, it's been, you know, and we're anxious because it's been a year plus since we got to see him, and we barely got to see him at all, you know, because he came up for so briefly in 16 and then was out completely in 17. I just want to see him. And I know it's not going to be the same this year because he's not going to get in the rotation. I'm not sure he'll even get the rotation by the end of the year, but I hate to have to wait. I know it's, you know, hey, we've waited a year, why wait? Now it's another month, but, you know, just really hate to wait till May and see what he's done. Now, obviously, he'll pitch some in Memphis, and I'm sure that will be well attended by people and get a lot of information there, but just won't be the same. But, boy, you put him into this bullpen mix that, again, is overflowing, it feels like, right now. Yeah. It may be spring talking, for sure, but you gotta like it, and you look at this team, and it may not be superstars, and it may not be great in anything, but it feels like it's gonna be really good in a lot of areas, and that's gonna make for an interesting year, I think.
It definitely is. I'm trying to wait from the inbound this, but I'm gonna let you know that Virginia has gone down by 20 points.
Golly.
They're done. The first 16, 135-1, the 16 seed, first time to beat them. So, but yeah, no. Back to the baseball point. You're exactly right. It is going to be loaded up. I'm curious to see how they did it, and that may be some of the reason that they're playing this as quietly as they are. I've heard that he's looked really good. And that's another thing that's pretty exciting about it. So I don't know. I mean, this whole season could be, just knowing that that's there, mm-hmm, will be awesome. But it probably would be nice to get a little evidence that he's right around the corner.
Yeah. talk a little bit about Miles Mikolas, who pitched today. You know, pitched five scoreless innings. A little bit deceptive. Harrison Bader made a couple of really great catches that prevented some runs to score. But on the most part, looked pretty good. Didn't strike out as many. Struck out three. Put that together with his start against Houston. Are we more comfortable with him now? You know, obviously the sky was falling at the beginning of the spring when he had two really bad starts to start off with. But I think it's about if you look at Moz's algorithm on Twitter, who is a big proponent of Mikolas, and I think only slightly tongue-in-cheek is calling for him to be a Cy Young this year. I think it's up to 9 scoreless innings, at least with our, you know, a ball in a row. How comfortable are we that he has figured something out?
If the ball club puts this much emphasis in their belief that he's going to be good, I mean, I drink the Kool-Aid. Unfortunately, you know, I believe it as well. I think it probably was a confidence factor, and it makes me feel better that Maddox is the one that kind of pulled him aside. It's like, hey, just let it fly. You know, do while you're here. Don't try to nitpick and impress people. But yeah, I mean, it tells me that I'm optimistic about it, but I've been optimistic about the rotation from the beginning, and I think that Mikolas and Wainwright are going to be they're going to be stable performers throughout the deal. So I'm upbeat about the situation, and more so after the last two starts.
Yeah, I think that – I hope so. I hope so. I've been interested. I think that it shows – kind of what you're saying. It shows that the club had an idea when they went and got him. I mean, there wasn't a random, hey, this guy's cheap, let's get him. I mean, they did their scouting. They really feel like he can be a kind of a surprise. And he was. I mean, again, they weren't the only ones. They had 4 or 5 teams going after him, including the Cubs, I believe. So I hope he does well, and it'll helpfully. I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. Not reinforce, but validate perhaps the approach of the front office. Because, again, I do think that all front offices nowadays fetishize not spending money, that you want to be the one that's real smart on cheap budget and win. You got to find the bargains. You got to hunt for this undiscovered guy that you can get for $1 million instead of paying a, you know, performer for $7 or $8 million. But It's good to see them, you know, hit on some of these guys, and hopefully that's what we're going to see on Mikolas. I think that's a big deal because Weavers looked good. Like you said, Walker looked good. Wainwright has looked good this spring. Some of it, you know, is spring and all that, but even if they're above average, if all those guys are above average or above what we expected, it's very good, and with a bullpen that looks a lot better and an offense that should click some, you know, I mean, you just think about it. I mean, just the bullpen piece. If you have the same team from last year with this bullpen, they probably make the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, that's you know, I bring up incremental improvements a lot of times, and that kind of gets poo-pooed every once in a while by guys that are just like, hey, they're not that close. You're exactly right. This bullpen, they're in a really good spot last year. And then think about it this way. 2 years ago when they didn't make it, you know, they were the game short. You get in, you have Martinez and Reyes ready to go. Last year you get in with this bullpen. You have Martinez and Weaver ready to go. Mm-hmm. You're this close now, and you probably have a better rotation. You may have the best 6th and 7th starters in baseball. And you're right. I mean, this bullpen may be the piece that they needed, and the way that they do it may be perfect.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have to wait and see, obviously, but it's going to be – I don't know. There's optimism there for sure. And I think that's what you want in the spring. I mean, I think every team wants to go into into the season thinking that at least they're going to be maybe better than expected. To have some reason to watch the team. And not every team does, I don't think. Especially some of these teams that seem to be worried more about the draft picks than putting it, you know, winning ball games. But, you know, I think for the most part, everybody gets to that point and they say, yeah, you know, it kind of talks themselves into, hey, we're going to be good. Not everybody is, but
sure.
I feel pretty good. Like I said, you knock on wood, you hope for no major injuries, and you hope everybody's fine, but it's we're getting close to finding out, I guess, and that's the good thing. So, I can't think of anything. I'm going to kind of skim the headlines here real quick.
Can we talk about Yairo Munoz or anything?
Yeah, we can. I mean, let's just talk a little bit about Yairo Munoz. You know, a guy that is on the 40-man. Let me double-check that, but I'm pretty sure that's right. Yeah, he's on the 40-man. So he could come up north without much trouble. We've talked a little bit about, I think on the show that actually made it out, about how that could really backlog some of the outfield in Memphis and stuff, because, you know, at least Harrison Bader being in the big leagues, they've already got a slew of guys that are playing in Memphis, and that would just add to the problems down there. But you can't argue that if you're going to take spring training stats, Munoz would make this team. He seems to continually be impressing people, and he's playing so many different positions that I mean, we'll see him in St. Louis this year. I just don't know if it's going to be opening day.
Yeah, I agree. And that's, it goes back to the contract kind of issues that we're talking about. You know, I know that they really like Garcia, and it's probably one of the reasons that he's safe. But they are trying him in different positions to try to find a place for his bat in the lineup. I'm like you, that it's going to be Garcia as that backup shortstop, and I think that Munoz is actually going to probably start as the starting shortstop in Memphis with a chance to be the first call-up. I heard a Sports on Sunday where Mo had actually said that, where if he goes down, he's going to work primarily at short, but going to get a lot of action in the infield to be that first guy up in that situation. But he's obviously made a mark. I'm impressed with him. And it was that's another thing, too, just like we had talked about the stats, we try not to read too much into it. But he's impressed me with the glove, with his approach. And it says a lot to where I was disappointed he wasn't in the lineup in the televised game today. You know, I was like, of all the bats we wanted to see, and you know I'm a huge Fowler guy, huge Carpenter guy, you know, huge Jerko guy, of all the bats that we wanted to see, I was like, oh man, he's heading with them, not going to be on the televised game. And I thought that said a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's hitting .368 in the spring. His OPS is just shy of 1,000. I guess the only cautionary term, and it's not quite, but you know, Edmundo Sosa had struggled last year, and you know, maybe he's made some adjustments. It seems like he probably has a different batting stance from what I understand from, I think, Kyle's Periscope from Monday, or 1 week. But Sosa's hitting .438 on the spring. I mean, it's 16 at bats, and I guess. I'm just saying that to say, you know, Munoz is hitting .368. Of course, he's got a couple home runs, and I think overall he's been fine, but it is those spring training stats, you know. You know, when you put him up there with some other players, it's like, you know, how much does this go? But I think that, yeah, I think he's got enough, shown enough that you got to give him a shot. You got to give him a trial some point in time, and I just think that the roster crunch is going to get to him again, at least to start with.
Yeah, it seems like it. And then a lot of the names that we have talked about, you know, being close to making it and all that, are probably going to get caught in that rot, or maybe the contract crunch more than anything. Mm-hmm. And this is just another example. I mean, you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, there's no telling. I mean, there's still time, and with that revolving door, you know, it may not matter as much who makes the team to start with. And I know Kyle has pointed out that Munoz really, he feels at least, needs more time to develop as a starter and play some time.
Sure, I can see that. Completely see it.
Yeah, I can too. And you know, if Kyle says it, I'm probably going to believe it, just because, I mean, he knows these guys, these prospects, better than we do. But
yeah,
I don't know if that the organization sees it that way. But hopefully they will. I mean, hopefully they'll at least let him go down to Memphis and see if he can keep this going. Because, you know, if he comes up to St. Louis and he only plays a little bit here and there and he struggles, you know, what does that do for his development? If he goes to Memphis and he's playing every day, if he's still hitting the cover off the ball, then you can talk about bringing him up. But maybe he struggles there and he needs a little bit of time. I mean, you know, we have seen it before, where a guy will go to spring training, have a good spring training, and then go to Memphis and it doesn't click, you know. Or when he's playing every day, it just doesn't, you know, it's not quite as good. And maybe he doesn't get that call up. So I think that they need to see a little bit more of what they have with him on a regular basis and let him start in Memphis. And, you know, again, that's not saying he's down there all year. He might be up by the middle of, you know, into April, beginning of May. I mean, who knows? But it feels like to me that that's a guy that needs a little bit more time to just to get an idea of what he wants to do, since we haven't seen him play in the minor leagues yet.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great point. And it didn't, he's still new to us. And, you know, that's, I would be excited to see an extended period of him in Memphis at shortstop. That, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, is there anything else then?
I think we're good. What a night.
There you go. Big night.
Caught up on it. Yeah, it's awesome.
So, all right. Well, we'll wrap this one for right now. You know, keep an eye out on the Redbird Daily. I know Colin Garner's still working on his top prospect list, and we'll be seeing some more of those.
Getting down in the nitty gritty.
That's right. Well. Yeah, you got eight with
Hudson today.
Right. Yep. I was about to say Dakota Hudson with the eighth prospect. So you're getting up there and getting some of those guys that are going to be pretty close to the majors as well, most likely. So check that out. Keep reading over there. You know, I've got next week we'll finish up the Playing Pepper series with all the Central Division, both the AL and the American League, AL and the National League. If you want to read the West and the East, they're up on the site, or you can find the Playing Pepper hashtag on Twitter and find links to the posts there. It's been good to get responses from folks. I need to put out the link to the little game, the little prediction game that we're going to play this year, or going to try to play. I've got the season, you know, you go out and put your predictions in on, you know, whether the Cardinals make the playoffs and what Luke Weaver's K-9 rate is and other questions, and compare it. So I'll try to tweet that out again pretty soon. And then we'll do one each series. I got one set up for the Mets series, and we'll do that and hopefully have a little fun with that during the season. We'll see how that goes. And then, like I said, I got a post that's going to go up on the Birds on the Black, unfortunately. That's not what I was looking for, but that's the way it goes. So that'll probably be up, hopefully be up tomorrow or today by the time you listen to this show. And I'm going to do some podcasting this weekend. I'm going to talk to Kyle Reese for Conversations on Saturday, and I'm going to talk to Tara on Sunday. And yeah, we're getting there. We got to start getting this stuff in and getting into that routine, because that last
less
week
than,
of spring,
yeah, push it. Less than 2 weeks.
That's right. That is right. So until next Friday, which will probably not be as historic as this Friday is.
That's a good one.
we'll talk at that. I'm Daniel. That's Alan. We'll talk at you later. Goodbye.
All right, good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.